Welcome to NFT Heat. We're bringing the top NFT thought leaders straight to you. If there's something you enjoyed on this episode, and we really hope you did, please take a screenshot of the episode and make sure to tag us on Twitter at NFT Heat. We really appreciate your support, and you are the only reason we're growing. So to help us, please subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll then give your review a shout out on a future episode. Welcome to NFT Heat. Whether you're inside the industry or new to the NFT space or an NFT OG, we're going to provide you with the necessary NFT alpha to crush. We'll bring in the top guests and deep dive into how NFTs will transform the metaverse, DeFi, and social tokens. I'm Justin Shank, growth, the king of alpha. I got to come up with a new name because this is just getting old. I'm not the king. I mean, if anything, you know, I'm way down the totem pole. But for this episode, I'll be the king. And I came from being a child actor to an adult actor, to producer, to Stanford, to NFT entrepreneur. And I'm here with my fantastic co-host, John Kraske. He was an executive in the design space, and now he's running an NFT company or multiple NFT companies. It changes every day. He's in the trenches every day, learning, growing, and seeking alpha. John, what is happening this afternoon in the NFT space?
Oh, I don't know. Just 2 million things at the same time. So it's fun, though. So like I said, man, anybody that's looking to reinvent themselves, their career, jump in the NFT space. There's abundance of opportunities. It's actually ridiculous. Some of us top thought leaders, you know, myself, Justin, Gianni, I mean, we can't even keep up with it all right now. So we need more bodies. We need more smart minds. So jump in, please help us out. We're drowning.
Yes, please come into the space. And as you know, we're two NFT insiders that are bringing the top NFT thought leaders to help you learn the emerging trends and opportunities each and every week in 30 minutes or less. Let's get into it, John.
Today's guest is Gianni Dell'Urta. Did we get that right?
You almost got it. It's Gianni.
Ooh, yes.
Gianni.
And then last name?
Dell'Urta.
There we go.
There you go.
There we go.
Thanks for trying.
It's always good. Hey, A for effort. So, Gianni has been working in technology, branding, and marketing for more than 20 years, beginning his career during the first dot-com boom at one of Miami's first ISPs. Gianni's insatiable curiosity drew him to the blockchain industry in 2013, where he was an early supporter of Ethereum. Wow. Great call, Gianni. More recently, Gianni worked alongside Ethereum's founder, Anthony DiIorio. Did we get that right?
Yeah, you got it.
We got an Italian lesson also happened during this intro. I love it, though. You know what? We're keeping this. We're not editing this intro, by the way, Justin. We're keeping it.
I love it.
He worked next to Anthony at Decentral Jax as director of marketing, leading the organization's global branding initiatives. Welcome to NFT Heat, Gianni.
The NFT Heat, man. Miami Heat, NFT Heat. I like the play on words. It's fantastic.
Yeah, anybody appreciate it. You know, it was originally, you know, funny backstory, but it was originally going to be called NFT Alpha. And I was like, that doesn't really speak to me or Justin's personalities. Like, we're a little more LA, you know, a little flash and sizzle, kind of LA Miami guy. So I was like, you know, let's call it NFT Heat. So that's how it happened.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's great. It's great. Gianni, welcome. We're so thrilled to have you. You're a great buddy. And we go back. I mean, I'd like to say way back, which is kind of true. I mean,
but
6-7 months, right?
But
in the NFT space, that is way back.
It feels like years ago because so many things have happened since then. You know, Justin, you've launched a couple companies. You've had a couple successes. No, you know,
it's like it's wild, man. It's wild. We're going to get into all of the good stuff. But first off, let's hop into a 5-question lightning round to provide some alpha to our listeners. John, give Gianni the first question.
Gianni, what is your favorite Discord?
Yeesh. None.
Ooh, I like that answer, actually. I think Discord is overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. Right now, you know, I was going to pop up my Discord and kind of do something. I've had to, like, even ask on Twitter. I think Justin's seeing this question, like, how do I manage my Discord intake? Because it's just too much. And so what I've been doing is, like, whatever Discord that's interesting me, I grab that Discord and I pop it to the top. I just manually put it up. I keep putting it to the top. And whatever's up there is typically the ones that I'm most interested in, because the other ones, and then now it's starting to prune because it's just too much. But my favorite chat right now is a special chat that I have with just like a group of like 100 something people. We call it JPEG Morgan. It's our little DGen group talking NFTs. We have a gentleman, his name is Ralph. We call him Ralpha because he provides the alpha in the morning. But, you know, that's my favorite group right now. I think we went from like a broad approach of like getting into every Discord, every Telegram group we can find, to finding those like really tight groups of people that we've either met in person and kind of like what you guys are going to do, or I'm hearing you're doing with the thought leaders, is like really honing in that like group of people that really know the stuff. So you don't have to spend 5 hours going to different places to figure out what's important. You know, you just, it's the people you trust that are giving you that alpha, and knowing they're not going to set you off on like some, you know, scam thing or whatever. You're just really focused. So my Smart. WhatsApp group is my favorite group at the moment, but on Discord, you know, I don't really have a favorite. I actually like a DAO that I belong to, Raid Guild. It's a collective of developers who build DAO house software and all that. I love like seeing what they're talking about. But I mean, it's just too hard to pick one.
Love it. Love it. That was some alpha right there. I'm going to use that myself. Take a Discord, pop it up to the top, because I'm overwhelmed. It's too crazy. And JPEG Morgan, by the way, you guys were all over Miami Basel. That was super great to see. All right. Question number two, lightning round. So let's keep it fast. Why should people care about NFTs, Gianni?
Well, I've been tracking it since, actually, it's funny because someone found the tweet that I made back when Ethereum was created. And he thinks that I might've been the first to kind of like bridge that idea that there's collectibles and these are things that you're going to be able to put on the blockchain. Actually, there's a document between Joe Lubin and a bunch of other crypto people from the Ethereum group, where it basically lists all the business cases. And at the bottom, my little contributions, collectibles, and like just little things that I put there. I discovered it the other day again when I was just kind of looking for something Ethereum based. I'm like, look, what's this document? 2014? Oh, wow. And so I found that. But I do believe that NFTs will be everything. Anything that has to do with audio, video, 3D files, any digital asset will be represented as an NFT or wrapped in an NFT of some sort. We're going to take out your camera and your phone, take a picture, it's going to be wrapped in an NFT. This audio recording that John's doing is going to be an NFT, right? And then someone's going to say, John, can I use that in the morning in the news, you know, on NBC, whatever? And he's going to say, yeah, I'm going to assign you rights. Boop. The website will know that he's given the rights. And if any little cash comes through it, it goes right to him. And the advertiser dollars that was part of that will go to him. Things like that will happen, assured, 100%.
I love it. So Gianni, is it too late for people to invest in NFTs? Question three.
The investing conversation is a big one, right? Like, I hate to like provide investment advice. And I think we all do, especially when family and friends say, hey, Gianni, you're doing great. Can you give me some alpha, whatever? And I don't tend to give alpha. I tend to say, here's a cool project. Check it out. Somebody's doing something interesting that's different. And I actually do believe that it's not too late. I think anybody that participates in the NFT wins. They just don't only win value and monetarily. They win by relationships. We wouldn't be having this conversation had I not participated in NFT Hack at ETH Global and met Justin, right? This wouldn't happen. We wouldn't get all excited when we see each other in person for the first time. And so those are the things, that's the investment that I see, that you're investing in the technology, you're investing in the people, you're investing in opportunities that will pay. And they just happen to pay sometimes monetarily quite extensively if you hit it right. And it happens multiple times, by the way, if you just participate. So,
Gianni, you're bringing the heat. You're dropping alpha all over this lightning round. I love it. All right. What is your favorite blockchain?
Obviously, I'm biased to Ethereum. I mean, that's pretty obvious. I love all the Ethereum derivatives, you know, the polygons. I love XDAI, for example. A lot of the hardcore developers are building DAO software because it's a stable coin that's completely, you know, somewhat autonomous in the sense, you know, it's not controlled by anybody. It's very smooth and fast. But any of the Ethereum derivatives I like. Solana is really interesting. Obviously, there's some good projects that are on that. It's very fast. It feels good when you work with it. But people say, you know, I jumped on something in Solana and they're like, oh, it's so great. So, well, have you tried something on Polygon? They're like, yeah, I haven't tried it. And so they don't know. But there are others that are coming that are as good, right? So I try to be agnostic as much as possible because we may all be proven wrong, right, about which one's the winner. And maybe they're all winners. We don't know that yet. It's hard to tell.
I love it. I love it. Fifth and final question. This has actually been a hot topic right now in the NFT space. But what do you say to people who say they metaverse is a giant pie in the sky idea that will never happen. Because, you know, we just saw that somebody bought a plot of land next to Snoop Dogg's mansion in the metaverse. So here's your thoughts on the metaverse.
I'm not so like crazy on the value of some things, right? I think a lot of the value stuff sometimes is a flex, you know, like, you know, I got the money to buy the plot of land. There's a lot of people that have been successful in crypto trading or flipping things, and they are able to do that. Others are not. So that part, I'm not so into that. I do believe, and we have this conversation now, thanks to Zuckerberg and Facebook, to kind of, we love to hate them, but at the same time, they kind of brought that subject to light. We've all been living in the metaverse for a while. I mean, we all have, you know, if you played a video game with another person across the world, you lived in the metaverse. If you buy some crypto, you're living in the metaverse. I think to me, the metaverse is the composability aspect that we're not there yet, but we're going to start seeing how things shift and people are going to expect things to happen in the metaverse, right? That NFT that I purchased, I want to be able to use it in a game. I want to be able to use it at the store. I want to be use it at, you know, in different experiences. That's going to have to shift how people do it. There's not going to be these walled gardens, or the walled gardens are going to have gates that you can open and close and allow people to participate, right? So that's what I think about the metaverse. I think it's not a giant pie. I think there's huge opportunity to awesome. You know, interoperable interactions with people.
Johnny, that's smoke and heat you just dropped all over that lightning round. 5 out of 5. I got to tell you, my favorite part of it was to find out that you were there with Lubin and the whole Ethereum co-founders, and you are the one who came up with collectibles on that long case for business case. You got to mint that, because that is a very, very valuable NFT, and that is pretty awesome. Yeah, so maybe. Maybe. I think it's going to be huge. So let's get into a little bit deeper in terms of conversation. You are one of the smartest guys I know in the space. I always go to you for advice, and you are a connector. You know everybody. You're in the Miami scene. You know the mayor. I mean, it's just, I'm so thrilled that we have you on the podcast finally. And it was so great to meet you IRL in Miami, Basel, because we talk. I see you on Discord, and I see you in meetings, but we haven't met until we met in Miami, and it was freaking awesome. So can you tell us a little bit how you got involved with Ethereum Global's hackathon, and what was your project?
So the Ethereum Global hackathon was me just saying, you know what, let me just join this thing. I love NFTs. I love Ethereum. I'd seen it happen before, and I said, you know, screw it. Let me just get in there. You got to participate. It's like going to a networking event. You just stand in a corner. Nothing's going to happen, right? So you really got to kind of get out there. And they have this thing where you put, you know, a deck and you put a slide looking for a team or have an idea. And this gentleman named Isaac Patka reached out. He was an ex-CTO of a blockchain company. He was freaking amazing. Another young man, Owen, who's studying programming, joined us. And this other guy named Mark, who was a musician and artist. So he got like a nice little trio. You typically go with what the tech guy wants to build, not what you want to build as a marketing creative guy. You got to go with the tech guy. And so he wanted to build a kind of box break type thing, right? So, you know, all these people getting the baseball cards, buying them, not knowing what you're getting, and kind of opening them on a streaming thing. And so he devised a way of doing it with NFTX as the vault, right? So you would get, you know, you can put a bunch of NFTs in that vault, and then buy a token from the vault, and then later get revealed in a public way what was opening from it, right? And so because of that, we won a prize from NFTX, and we also won a prize from Rarible. And we kind of became like a little mini DAO, or experimenting with a mini DAO, and they asked us to continue working on the project. But like with anything, there's lots of things driving for our attention. But Isaac also helped me build as a proof of concept to the city for the mayor. We built a digital key to the city as an NFT of all things, using Polygon of all things, where the mayor could say, Justin, thank you for coming to Miami. This is dedicated to you for all your hard work. He can sign it with his finger and then just kind of like send it off to you. But it's still not active because the city still can't have crypto on its balance sheet. So we're working towards that. There's things happening. That's what happened during the Ethereum Global Hackathon. And how we met as well, because you did a fantastic pitch. For anybody that's listening, Justin's pitch, anytime he does that pitch, people just like stop, right? They stop on their tracks. That was a great experience. And then I kept on seeing you pop up in all the different Discords. I was inviting you in Discords. Yep. And so for anybody listening, that's the way you succeed in crypto, is building relationships with people directly one-to-one, and it pays off. We're all kind of like in that giving mentality.
I love it. I love it. Awesome. Yes, I love it. Yep. I have a lot of Web 2.0 people from Facebook and Twitter and Amazon. They reach out, and I've had a couple of the conversations, but honestly, I leave those conversations feeling dirty because I don't feel like they're coming from a genuine place. I feel like they come in, they think they're smarter than us, they're better than us, and they just really want to steal our alpha and just try to do this better. But you're just coming from the wrong place. And I'm actually going to be blowing you up on LinkedIn this week, like you people. So like, watch out. But Gianni, we met because I'm not sure exactly how we got introduced, but the mayor of Miami reached out to our company because they're planning potentially an NFT conference in March. I'm not even sure if that's still happening. You can answer that after I ask you this question. But you know, the mayor of Miami is really big. He basically circled crypto and said, you know what, we're going to own this space. And I'm just sort of curious, like your relationship with the mayor of Miami, kind of what you think of like that whole initiative?
Well, born and raised in Miami and being in tech, I mean, like my bio says, I was one of the first ISPs. You know, this was like when you had to pay for email. You know, this is before like you got free email, when your parents told you, what the hell, why are you building websites? Why would you even buy anything online? Are you crazy? They're going to steal your money. Like that was during that time, you know, we had a little bit of activity then. And then there's always been entrepreneurs building stuff in any city. And Miami has always had that. And we always wanted to say that we're a tech hub, but we were never really that. And then because of the pandemic and because of a special tweet that the mayor said, you know, how can I help? And people responding to that and coming to that attention, he and his team really understood social media. They understood the power that it had, and they understood how to leverage it immediately, right? Be able to field, DM the mayor. You know how many people I've talked to? I've DM'd the mayor. Yeah, the mayor responds to some, maybe some of his staff responds to some, but for the most part, he responds. Like I even like had a friend say, yeah, I sent something to the mayor just recently. And I'm like, are you sure you were talking to him directly? And he's like, yeah, he sent me his phone number. Okay. And I checked the phone number. Yeah. So you were talking to him directly. You know, he wouldn't give his number out to anybody. But at the same time, he's out there to kind of like bridge those opportunities. He does a podcast as well. He's meeting with leaders. And then when we kind of connected, John, was because there was a conference happening in Miami in November or before November that was kind of being circulated. It wasn't ours. It wasn't based on the city. During Bitcoin 2021, the mayor felt that it was important to do a free conference before that conference because it was so expensive to get more people to understand what crypto was and its fascination with it and whatnot. And so that kind of started a conversation. That's how I started working with them behind the scenes, advising on different projects. Miami Coin was being discussed during that time. All those different things were happening. The city of Miami is a small piece of the county of Miami. And the county of Miami as well is very interested in crypto, right? So the whole city is embracing it. There's a lot of people who've moved here, a lot of people opening businesses. I've talked to young people. I've told me I'm going to take a one-way ticket to Miami in the summer of whatever, whatever. And I want to get a job in crypto. I'm going to go straight to Miami after my college time and try to make it. And I would have told them, be careful in the past. But now, you know, you guys are really, I know, John, you're really cool with the Polygon guys. There's a Chainlink event here in Miami with a Polygon counterpart that they do an event. And I've never seen the amount of people that go to this thing ever in my life in Miami. There are people from all over the United States, but they have that crypto mentality of giving and connecting and, you know, it's not like, who are you? I'm a suit or like, I, you know, highbrow that I started this company where everybody's just figuring it out. So everybody's kind of building this community. After that event that happened during Bitcoin 2021, just more things have happened. We are organizing an event towards the end because I own Miami NFT Week and a bunch of other domains, as well as my relationship with the city and individuals of the city. And it's something that I pitched to the city, and that's being worked on as we speak. There's going to be announcements. I don't want to steal anybody's thunder as far as from the city, but there's going to be a very important time during the month of April when a lot of things will kind of culminate during that time. But regardless, you guys were here during our Basel. Our Basel is typically about art and maybe some little tech event here and there. But there was 150 tech events in Miami. Majority, nothing to do with our Basel. Majority having to do with PFPs, PFP communities, artists doing NFTs, exhibitions, experiences, meetups, the apes getting together, the doodles getting together. Murals on the wall that are PFPs and had nothing to do with just traditional art. So it's crazy. there really is just nuts what's going down.
I got to tell you, the mayor of Miami is amazing, but I'm wondering, you probably should be the mayor of Miami.
No.
You're dropping heat everywhere. And I mean, you are representing this city in the best way. But no, we are huge fans of the mayor of Miami. He's done an incredible job.
But hey, you know what? You mentioned he has his own podcast. Gianni, can you help get him on our podcast?
That's right. Come on.
We should. I'm going to send them this podcast and send it to the people that be to definitely to try to do a, we'll have to do some cafecito though. You know, maybe we could do it remotely, but.
Of course. But
yeah. That would be amazing.
That would be fun. Well, that was fantastic. Look, we know you wear many hats. You do so many amazing things in the crypto space. I mean, I'm grateful to you. You got me in an incredible accelerator in Tel Aviv, which I'm working on for the NFT autograph business, which you are one of the directors of. And you are right there at the pulse of new NFT companies and metaverse startups. You're seeing all these interesting incubated companies come to fruition. Are there any small companies that you've seen recently that you just want to talk about or highlight or something neat that you've seen that's going to be coming soon?
I mean, there's so many. It's really hard to tell. I like also talk about opportunities. You know, I think there's huge opportunities when all of you talk to businesses, enterprises, and say, how do we get into the NFT space? You know, there's then the question of like, they have to get crypto. They have to get wallets that what happens when you have a wallet and they have NFTs or minting NFTs and that person at that company passes away or decides to leave. Like solutions in that multi-sig enterprise type things, hopefully still in the Web3 thinking, right? Like, you know, you own your keys, but we all three had like this podcast and we have a multi-sig thing, but then, you know, it becomes a business. We outgrow it and we got to pass it on to someone else. The moment that somebody knows the seed, that's not going to happen, right? Like we can't do that. So those are huge opportunities. I like what's happening in the play to earn space. I don't have time to play. So it pisses me off that I can't play to earn because I don't have time to play and like get deep because, you know, you got to spend some time to understand these products. And I just became an advisor on Isaac's project called Minty.xyz. And it's kind of a DAO to kind of own different things. So he has like a whiskey DAO. There's a gentleman that bought like 50 barrels of whiskey. And people can buy a portion of that, but control it as a DAO. And so that's kind of incorporating NFTs with DAOs. And I think that's really good. I think it's really interesting. The stuff that you're doing, Justin, I think some of the stuff that I've heard from you talking about with like comic books and opportunities with comics, I think are really fantastic. Huge thing. Anybody that has an audience already, like there's just a huge opportunity to take that audience and do something with NFTs that now brings communities together, which, you know, we never had that opportunity to do that. So it's hard for me to pick on one because there's just so many. And then I tend to like, it's just hard to pick one.
I love it. All right. So Gianni, you have been in the blockchain space since 2013. You've seen a lot of bull and bear markets. Where do you think we are right now in the current NFT cycle?
Ooh, I like to actually compare it. It's weird because since being in 2013, we've seen bunches of crashes. Like literally like right before November during Silk Road, we have like this huge uptick, you know, of value being driven. And then all of a sudden it crashed right after that New Year's. Then we had Ethereum kind of announced and there was like a lot of excitement. And then we had the ICO craze, which then bottomed out. And then, you know, now we're doing an NFT craze, which incidentally is quite different because even though we've had some crashes with NFTs, not NFTs, I mean, with blockchain assets that have crashed and have done some dips, some of the NFTs are still sustaining, right? Because the value there is not derived just so much on the speculative aspect, but holding it because I want to be part of this community. I want to participate in these future drops. Like there's other value being generated than just that. So as far as like the dips and where we're going, I don't think in 2017, I staked everything to go straight into crypto and I had to go back to being a marketing guy after 2018, after that crash, to be honest with you. Miami didn't have it. And not enough people knew about it to really make it viable unless you were a programmer building some really cool startup, which I tended wanting to do, but the tooling wasn't there. But the tooling is there now. We have DAO software that you can just easily spin up multiple different options. You want to do something? Go ahead, move forward. You got a bunch of infrastructure things that allow programmers that are not even crypto programmers to build crypto stuff. You know, things like Morales and some of the stuff that Austin Griffith builds, like these repos with Scaffold ETH, to allow people to quickly generate ideas. That didn't exist 2017, 2018. Now anybody can just start going. a young person can come out of school and come up with an idea and implement like tomorrow. I saw it during the hackathon. We saw, Justin, a bunch of projects that were working within 3 or 4 days. They might not be the prettiest, but the concepts were functional. And so I don't think this is going away. And I think it's only going to gain more momentum. And I think celebrity, I think athletes, I think all these people that are getting into this game are bringing awareness.
Amazing. Absolutely.
One more.
Totally on it.
One last thing. Pepsi. Yes. Pepsi with their 1,800 whatever things. That's 3 million people in a Discord channel that now have to figure out what it is to download a MetaMask, get some crypto, and participate. That didn't exist when I started getting into this. So it's viable. Sorry to interrupt you there.
No, please. I'm sorry to interrupt you. You're dropping alpha. I mean, to just continue on with that, I know you've got a very smart teenage son, and I'm just wondering how you see him interacting with NFTs and his friends, and how you see them evolving those NFTs into the metaverse.
So that's a great subject and a great transition, because anybody that is our age, anybody that's already in the workforce that's endeavoring in this, you've got to remind someone that there's a group of young people who are stuck in COVID, who now, not only are we talking about this remote work that we're doing through Zoom, this might have been common for many people, but now everybody's feels comfortable with it. Our kids are more comfortable than ever before because they weren't able to get out. And so what are they playing? They're Fortnite, but it's not Fortnite. That's Zoom for them. That's community building for them. That's spending time with their friends, right? So it's easy for them to understand these concepts. It's easy for them to understand currencies in a digital idea in a game. These NFTs of, they were buying things that I would get upset at my son for buying skins. Why are you spending money on that? You're not going to be able to do anything with it. But if it's an NFT and you can resell it, you could do something with it. Why not? That's interesting. And so things like Roblox, you know, he had to create the builder account, and he was making t-shirts and selling those t-shirts in game. And even if it wasn't real, it doesn't matter. But he was understanding some of the mechanics, and that was very valuable for him. And so I think he's going to expect that what his future will be will integrate all these things together. It's going to integrate his gaming life. He's going to be 21, 25. And 30 and 40 years old, and he's going to be still playing games, just like I'm still playing games, and I'm 43 years old. I've had an Xbox. I had the HTC Vive. Maybe I'm the exception, but it's just only going to get, it's going to proliferate even further. So,
I love it.
Yeah.
No, I love it. So this is a mission that's very near and dear to Justin and my heart, but it's female representation in the crypto and NFT metaverse world. What do you think of the current state of female representation and also diversity actually in the space as well? We just had Tony Herrera on, very influential in the space. We've had Brianna Fay. I'm not sure if you know her, of Meta Architects.
There's so many.
And now we have Gianni. We have Gianni.
So let us know, like, what do you think of it? Like, I feel like that's the magic of the space, that no matter your background, your ethnicity, your race, your female, male, I mean, it feels like everybody's welcome with open arms.
So I'll just correlate that to my passion project, which is NFTCuba.art. That is like, you know, it's an underserved, like, if you want to talk about underserved, you know, we're talking about a group of people who live in an island that's oppressed to a degree. Some find ways to work through it. Others don't. Some have the ability to come and go. Majority don't. But, you know, you think about COVID and they didn't have tourism. They didn't have the ability to sell their art. This gave them the means to do it. And I'm only bringing that up because one of the individuals, one of the earliest guys that I started working with, it's a man, but he said something that was very important. And I think bridges those ideas is that he feels freedom when he creates NFTs. They're not sent. They can't censor him. He doesn't have to ask permission and he doesn't have to put his face on it. He could just do whatever he wants. And so I personally do believe, even though I know there's a lot of statistics that say that there's not enough women, there's not enough people of different ethnicities. And I just, in the peripheral standpoint, I feel that in the NFT space, there's much more women representing than in any other tech space that I've ever been involved with. I do believe the cultural aspect of NFTs is changing that game as well, because it's not just about the tech. The tech is kind of like how you get there to do what you want to do, to have the conversations you want to have the projects that build awareness for this project or for this foundation, this need. You know, I love the PFP projects that have like some kind of philanthropic giving type of thing behind it and what their mission is. That's really powerful. I do believe that it's turning a corner that other technology has not been able to do. because it's approachable in many different fronts and you don't have to ask permission to do anything. You're sovereign in your own crypto to do whatever you want.
Awesome. Awesome. Gianni, you brought the heat in this episode. You dropped alpha. We talked NFTs, metaverse, so much good stuff. Thank you very much for all of your insights. We met IRL. Now we've had you on the podcast. I can't even imagine how many fun projects we're going to continue to do. Follow Gianni. Gianni, where are you on Twitter so we can make sure to follow you?
My first and last name, G-I-A-N-N-I, Dalerta, D-A-L-E-R-T-A. I try not to hide. It's the same name everywhere. Twitter is where I'm at.
Follow Gianni. Yeah, man.
Honestly, one of the nicest people in the space. And honestly, yep. Just looking forward to continue to collaborate on a personal and professional level. And he's a great follow on LinkedIn. I'm Mr. LinkedIn, but definitely follow him there. Always some great.
We got to have representation, man. John's leading the charge on LinkedIn. For everybody listening, if you're not following John, I'm going to tell you right now, you're doing yourself a disservice. And I believe he'll be the most famous crypto NFT guy above Gary Vee and everybody else on LinkedIn, by the way.
Love it. Wow. You heard it here first. Wow. That's huge.
This
That's
guy right here. NFT. John, mint your NFT. I want to buy one right now. 12. Do I have to buy 12? If I buy 12, well, I got a future John drop.
A mini John.
A mini John. Yeah, and you'll also get a book.
That's right. Follow Gianni on LinkedIn too. He's always dropping great insights all over the place. Thank you for coming on. Until next week, all of us out there, we will have another NFT thought leader who's going to pop in with more alpha. In the meantime, get collecting, continue learning, and continue growing. We're NFT Heat. A huge thank you to two of the creative engines behind this show. First, to LaFlex for the super smooth intro and outro music. What you're hearing is the song Love to You off his 2019 album Flex Appeal. And lastly, a big thank you to Bernardo Rodriguez for the awesome logo for the show. You can check him out on Instagram @ArtOfBernardo. Everyone, we just want to give you a massive thank you for listening to NFT Heat. Make sure to follow us on Twitter @NFT Heat, and we're looking forward to seeing you next week.